paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Yes, good evening. It's 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker, welcoming into the program Steve Dale, who's there, isn't he? Steve.
I'm always here. Always yes. here. How are yes, you, John?
I'm fine, and I know you're fine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let me check.
Traveling the world, United Airlines, going to their, you know, first-class lounges, taking pictures of what you're having for lunch. I mean, what a life. What a life. He's living his best life. Then what does he do? He goes out to Penn Arena and he does his booth 46 or whatever it is. I mean, you know, he's living his best life. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, I'm very lucky to do that podcast because I get a meal right afterwards, and that's
course.
A good thing. Yeah, but let's talk about the podcast since you brought that up.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, I love Chicago, and sometimes Chicago gets bashed, and I am just tired of it. I'm from here, and what some people say is just so untrue. So I wanted to celebrate Chicago in such a way in which we could reach people that has not been heard before. So celebrate culture of Chicago in particular and celebrate some of our institutions that we have. So in fact, at this Booth 46 podcast, which I most recently did, we did celebrate an institution, the Joffrey Ballet, which is very fancy for me to talk about, celebrating 70 years. Can you believe that? And how they were a nomadic ballet company that found its home in Chicago. And proof that ballet can actually be successful in attracting people who come from all over the country to see some of the performances at Joffrey. That is in the current Booth 46 podcast. But I interview various Chicago actors as they come to town, authors that may be our own. And also, as an example, Mayor Brandon Johnson. You know, I didn't talk politics with him. In fact, I told him, I don't want to talk politics. I want to talk about Chicago. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about things that people may not normally ask you about. And interestingly enough, huge response from that particular podcast. The Goodman Theater turned 100 years old, believe it or not. So I spoke with their artistic director and the executive director. So just a wide variety, and it's all at wherever you hear your podcast and WGNradio.com, of course.
And it's called Booth, whatever it is, because you're in a booth at what restaurant?
A Pettirino's restaurant.
There,
and
there
the
you
booth
go.
Is, yeah, the booth is called Booth 46 because I don't know how they number their booths. But
I don't care. It's
somehow,
fine. It's a nice booth. It's a great booth. But you're still...
You know...
What?
It would be nice to have you as a guest at some point.
Okay. I could always go for a free meal.
exactly.
So listen, you're also still a super knowledgeable about what's happening with pets and Steve Dale's Pet World, and I've got some notes here about some things that you might want to touch on. One of them is, I think maybe my least favorite device for dogs, and that I just can't stand shock collars. They just irritate. It makes me crazy.
I agree. And there's been a resurgence of these devices because of trainers on TikTok, on Instagram, demonstrating, I can save your dog, I can help your dog, I can train your dog this way. Shock collars aren't what they used to be. Well, a shock is a shock. I don't understand that argument at all. Listen, another argument, and I wrote about this in my most recent column. So you allude to me traveling, and I just returned from the Western Veterinary Conference in Las Vegas, where I spoke, and a month preceding that at the VMX Veterinary Conference in Orlando, where I also spoke. these two veterinary conferences are the largest in America. And I am grateful that I often speak at these conferences, but this year I had an opportunity to communicate to veterinarians why using a shock collar, it should not even be a last resort. So here's what some people have said, John.
Yeah.
That okay, I won't use a shock collar. They're not my preferred choice. However, with an aggressive dog, to keep the dog alive as a last resort, this is what I will do. No, that is wrong, friends. We don't need to do that. Maybe 25 years ago, I don't know, but certainly not today. If you have a dog and it's the last resort, you don't know where else to turn, that's what veterinary behaviorists are for.
Mm-hmm.
And we have several in Chicago. They are expert at dealing with and also have a toolbox that go beyond what your average trainer is able to do, because they can use psychopharmaceuticals, they can go themselves to trainers they trust, and they have themselves years of training. And some of this also, some of the problems we have may actually be medically induced. And they are veterinary behaviors, so they are veterinarians who can determine if there is a medical explanation, at least in part, for the behavior, which is not totally uncommon. Hmm. So that is where you turn as a last resort. Do not turn to a shock collar, no matter what the internet says. And by the way, speaking of the internet, I did something interesting, and I didn't know what the result would be, John. I asked this question of ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah?
I'm at my wit's end with an aggressive dog. I made up the question. I'm at my wit's end with an aggressive dog. Do I choose a shock collar? It seems the trainer with the shock collar knows what he's doing with dogs on TikTok and Instagram. And the dogs appear to respond, what do I do? The reply, I'm really sorry you're dealing with this. Living with an aggressive dog is exhausting and scary, which is true. You're not alone. There are safer, evidence-based ways to help. Most veterinary and behavior organizations, including the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior and the American Veterinary Medical Association, do not recommend shock or e-collars for aggression. They can suppress warning signals, which is true, but they do not change the underlying emotion, fear, anxiety, frustration, which can actually increase bite risk in some dogs. The slick videos on TikTok and Instagram often show short-term compliance, not long-term behavior change.
Yeah.
Hooray for ChatGPT. I could not have said it better myself.
And that's saying something, if you don't mind me saying. So, you know, and I've seen this plethora of things on TikTok where watch this aggressive dog, and then in 3 seconds, it's over, because I don't ever stick around to find out what their methodology is. But I know that that's impossible. I mean, okay, it's possible to train a dog, but not like, you know, We're going to give you new teeth in 24 hours. It doesn't really work. You know, it takes way more than that. But with an edited video, you can, I don't know, make it look any way you want. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and you're absolutely correct. And you know, listen, I have no doubt that punishment can stop a behavior in its tracks. I mean, if after all, John, you look at that in that direction, and every time you do, I hit you over the head, you're going to stop looking in that direction. However, the motivation for what made you look in that direction in the first place didn't change. And over time, you will want to look in that direction again. It doesn't address the underlying source of whatever issue that is. And by the way, again, that underlying source may not, but may have something medical going on with that dog. So absolutely, this is not, we know this, it is not the best way to train dogs. It's not a humane way to train dogs. I mean, if dogs are our best friends, for Christ's sakes, let's not shock them. And what's more, we know that nations all across the world, for a reason, have banned the use of these devices.
Steve Dale, we'll do more with him when we come back here at 720 WGN. And now we return to our scintillating conversation with Steve Dale. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
There is a very intriguing headline here on these notes that I've got. The type of dog trainer you choose, according to a new study, can be related to the type of person you are. Expound.
Yeah. So this goes along, really, with what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So the study just published in a publication called AnthroZoos. It's a study that was a peer-reviewed, that's the word I was looking for, study. So it's a legitimate study. And it turns out that the way in which you feel about dogs reflects the type of trainer you choose. So if you tend to share your bed with your dog, think of a dog as not only a family member, but in a more empathetic way, because nearly everyone these days does think of a dog as a family member. Those people are more likely to choose positive reinforcement trainers. However, the so-called balanced trainers, and that means those that use punishment-based training as well as positive reinforcement, the people that choose these kinds of trainers tend to feel that we need to express our dominance over dogs, that we are better than dogs in some way, shape, or form, that they respect their rights, for lack of a better word. I'm looking for the exact word that they use in the study, but that's the essence of it. And dependent, which I thought was fascinating, the way in which we go into this world feeling about dogs is the way in which we choose a trainer. So trainers that say you have to be dominant over your dog,
right,
which, by the way, that's rubbish. You have to. It is. You know, dogs know we are not dogs. I mean, so when a dog meets another dog on the street,
yes,
that dog acts very differently than if a dog meets another person on the street. They know we don't smell like them. Well, some of us maybe, but for the most part, we don't smell like them. We don't look like them. They know that. And there is no reason. Now, we do have to be good teachers. We do have to teach dogs how to live in our world. Dogs are not human beings, and we do need to understand that. We need to be good leaders, but that doesn't mean we have to be dominant over them, or that we must take control. For example, that if you let the dog out of the house before you go out of the house, that's giving the dog the idea that the dog is dominant. It's dangerous to do that because I don't know that I'd want to do that, but not because, or that if you sleep in the same bed with your dog, you're showing the dog that you're at the same level as the dog. All of that is made up crap. It really is.
Well, I believe so. I mean, just because I sleep with the dog doesn't mean I want to sleep with the trainer.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
You say a little humor. Yeah. Okay. But I find that interesting. That the type of human being you are relates to the type of trainer that you choose. Well, I guess, considering who I am, the trainer I would choose would probably be very lax. Wouldn't be very strict, you know, would accept a lot of behavior and still like the pooch, you know? That's just me.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we have to, everyone has their own views here and draws the line in different ways, and that's fine as far as what we allow our children to do, what we allow our spouse to do or our significant other, or what we allow dogs to do in the household. However, the way in which we think about dogs turns out to relate to the way that we choose a trainer for those dogs. So, yeah, if you're a strict disciplinarian, we're going to choose a trainer that's going to be not only a strict disciplinarian, but punishment-based regarding the dogs.
Well, that's not me, I can tell you that. The punishment-based, there's just no way. So I'm with you on that 100%. We've got a couple of minutes left. Why don't you, you know, we've been talking about dogs, but I know that you've got something coming up February 21st that has to do with cats. What's that?
Oh, yeah. So, John, you have done everything in your career. You've appeared everywhere.
Yeah.
Record hops, record stores. I mean, you know, the grocery stores maybe for an opening of aisle number 7. You've done everything, but have you ever, so far, appeared at a cat show?
I have not.
Right. So I will be at a cat show, the Lincoln State Cat Show, this Saturday. I will be speaking at this cat show, as I've done, actually, for many years. And by the way, if you love cats, it is a lot of fun. So I'll be there February 21st, which is Saturday. It's at the Kane County Expo Center. 525 Randall. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
525 Randall Road in St. Charles.
Right. I'll be talking at 1 o'clock and at 2 o'clock. Do I have one more minute?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. March 1st, and I'm excited about this, I'll be presenting at a benefit for DuPage County Animal Services. DuPage County Animal Services does not get much money from government, so they depend on this kind of thing to happen. And I'll be speaking about preventing dog bites. I'll be talking about my latest book, Ask the Dog. DuPage County Animal Services is at 2225 Manchester Road. That is in Wheaton, Illinois. And if you're interested in doing this, you can simply go to my website, stevedale.tv, and look for upcoming events, and you will find it. It's $40 per person. I give a talk for about an hour or so about dog bite prevention and a new way to think about dog bite prevention. The admission includes a raffle and door prizes. One of those door prizes, my book, that everyone who comes will get. And I hope you are able to come to that. DuPage County Animal Services, it's at 2225 Manchester Road in Wheaton.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Very informative as usual. Thanks for being with us. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hope I did okay. Thank you, John.
Hope I did okay. He does that every time. I'll get a text or something like in 15 minutes. Was I okay? You did okay. It was very good.